All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. Don't mind me, just double check and make sure everything is working. Okay, it is. All right. So, yeah, we're consecutive with another week in a row for once. Which means we're probably back on schedule for now. Until something else comes up. But anyways, how are you, Jade? Any church announcements before we dive into the docket?
No church announcements, but I've been good, staying busy, like always, but no church announcements for the chat. I was like, I don't know if anybody heard that in the background.
I heard the muffled version.
Yeah. but yeah, no church announcements. Trying to think. Yeah, no. Nothing going on. Like I said, there's no cons right now. Con season doesn't start back up till next year. So, yeah. And, oh, well, I'm doing a photo shoot next week. Not next week, the week after. So I have pictures for that. But other than that, nothing. What's going on with you?
No church announcements really from me. Just easing back into streaming and been doing YouTube per usual. Yeah, so nothing new. Just regular. But yeah, overall, good, just mainly busy. So there's that. All right. Oh no. Pressed a little too hard on the button. Okay. but, let's go ahead and dive right into the docket. So, decided kind of wanted to take a break from election, political spirit talk stuff. I mean, we'll hit just like a little bit of politics towards the end, but as far as the election talk stuff, I just kind of want to, oh, thank you for the follow. But just wanted to, like, you know, take a break from it. Cause it, at this point it's like, we know who the candidates are. We know what they usually say. So if something else big pops off, sure, we'll cover it. But at this point, I'm just like, head might be in the sand till November on that front. So, wanted to talk something a little bit lighter, like true crime. Mainly how Netflix has been in its true crime era. I mean, it's been in its true crime era for a while now. But this conversation is kind of cropping up again. Because Netflix released their second or their follow-up series of Monsters, and it's the Lyle and Eric Benendez story, which released last month and shot to the top of Netflix's streaming chart. And this is a follow-up to the controversial first Monster series about the U.S. serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer, which was criticized. Sorry, it's taken from BBC, so a bit of UK phrasing, but it was criticized, they say in some part, it was criticized quite a bit over here in the US for being insensitive, because essentially it felt like I didn't watch it myself, because I kind of didn't want to, because once I read about the case, I knew how I felt, and I was like, I don't want to see it romanticized, but he was essentially criticized because it was kind of both sidesing and sympathetic and kind of romanticizing Dahmer. And in lay terms, they kind of made Dahmer a little too charming and handsome, but not in the, oh, you're a serial killer sense, but in a, oh, I can have a drink with you sense. So they kind of gave him a little too much sympathy, a little too much charisma. That was very off balance from what he was doing, but especially because he was targeting mainly black and brown men. And his reasoning for targeting them was because, like, in his serial killer mind, he knew the cops weren't gonna look for them that hard. So, yeah. Because, you know, it was like, was 70s, 80s? Not that as much, all that better now. But, you know, back then it was even worse. So, that was why the monster series for Dahmer was heavily criticized. But now that they're back with the second series with the Menendez brothers, now there is getting another look, like I said, and it's still a little bit of criticism there. So if you don't know the background, which I'm not gonna lie, I didn't really know much about the Menendez brothers case, because like when it happened, I was like, oh, I wasn't even thought of yet. I wasn't born yet when the crime happened, and when the trial happened, I was very, very young. So, like, I wouldn't have caught it the first time. But, if you watch any 90s sitcoms, they didn't make a lot of jokes about the Menendez brothers. You know, essentially because they killed the parents. But the background, actual background, is Lau and Eric Menendez killed their parents in August of 1989. Jose and Kitty Menendez, who were shot at close range in their mansion. Lau and Eric were 21 and 18 at the time, respectively. They initially told police they found their parents dead when they arrived home. They were eventually tried for the murders, first individually with one jury for each brother, but both juries were deadlocked, resulting in a mistrial, and the pair were later tried again together. So the main defense that the brothers claim was that they commit the murders in self-defense after years of alleged physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, mainly from their dad. They said that they feared their father would kill them after they threatened to expose him. And that this is from the dramatized series, so I don't know if it's all the way true, but apparently, at least in the dramatized series, they said they killed the mom because not only did she kind of turn the other way when the alleged abuse was happening, but also because she was essentially addicted to pills and like didn't really care. And so they were putting in out her misery when they like murdered both of their parents. So, but the prosecution at the time argued that they wanted to kill their parents in order to inherit their money. I will also say that it seemed like the prosecution was a little hostile towards the idea of sexual abuse, especially for young men and boys. Seemed like just my inkling. Just because back in the late 80s, early 90s, it wasn't really taken seriously for men or males. I mean, it's taken a little bit more seriously today, but it definitely wasn't taken seriously back then. So,
yeah.
But the main argument was that because their parents were their dad mainly was filthy rich, they killed them for the money. And during their second joint trial, judge excluded evidence of abuse from their defense case. So, second trial, they didn't even get to really hear it, and the jury found them guilty and sentenced them to life in prison without parole. So, the dramatized show hasn't gone down well with critics. The writer for The Guardian described it as exhausting and repetitive. The IndieWire said it was a messy, salacious slog. Variety said, despite the gripping subject matter and outstanding performances, that they were acting. The show has no idea what it wants to be, therefore just dissolved into a retelling of unspeakable abuses and gruesome crimes. But the show on the outer sphere of real world, did start a Free the Menendez Brothers movement. I personally haven't seen it really on Twitter. That's my main site that I'm on. I have seen inklings that the movement might have started on TikTok. Yeah, I think it's mainly younger millennials and Gen Z from what I saw. And that kind of makes sense because I was very young and or not alive, and Gen Z wasn't alive when it actually happened. So, of course, with this kind of retelling and the actual documentary coming out on Netflix, it probably puts it into light for fresh eyes who might feel sympathy towards the Menendez brothers today. But all that said, it even caught Kim Kardashian's attention, who we know she did get her law degree. She is a practicing lawyer. She does advocate advocates for the defense. She's more so a defense attorney. So basically following her dad's footsteps, but acting as a defense attorney, and she's kind of taking the step to advocate for the Menendez brothers now. And added her input as to why they should be free or at least be able to appeal their sentencing and maybe either get a lesser sentence or be put on probation or ultimately be freed, because they have been in prison for over 30 years now. I will say I watched about half of the series, of the dramatized series. While I did think that it was kind of informative in a sense, I do agree it was a little bit on the gratuitous side, in the sense of like some of the they did some extra stuff with the brothers that they is like you didn't even have to do that part. Not in like flashbacks or anything, but just like them in their present day form is like, I don't even think that was necessary. But Menendez brothers themselves apparently commented that it was blatant lies. The series was like blatant lies. But like I said, Netflix actually released the actual documentary with the Menendez brothers kind of telling their own story, and they released it this week. I haven't watched that part yet. All that to say, I am slightly a true crime girly. I don't romanticize it like some people do with the podcast, but I do take an interest in it just because it's like kind of interesting to see mainly how investigators have been screwing up in the past. And it's like, how did you not see that? But also kind of seeing into the minds of like why. I don't want to say monsters in this sense, because I don't want to fully put the Menendez brothers as monsters, because I kind of am. I do think it was more so self-defense and a response to the trauma they face. But generally, when it comes to serial killers, I am interested in, like, how does your mind, what exactly caused you to go down that route? So, slightly a true crime girly. Just not in the, I take it seriously. I will say that. Anyways, so that's the background and also my little two cents. I think Netflix these days, I get what they're trying to do, but because they are entertainment first, they tend to run the risk of trivializing the more serious cases. Like, they did, and I think it was because Ava DuVernay was over the project, but they did When They See Us really well, or so I was told, because I didn't watch it myself because I didn't want to feel feelings. But they did When They See Us really well, apparently. But when it comes to stuff like this, with the Menendez brothers or the Dahmer story, they tend to go more to the dramatized entertainment route, which kind of does a disservice to either the victims or the actual people on trial or both. So, yeah. For the record, their parents, the Menendez brothers' parents, were pretty shitty. So there's also that. They weren't like fully innocent angels who had just happened to be. They weren't Warren Buffett. But yeah, those are my thoughts. Anyway, so your thoughts, Jade.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch it, just because I've heard so much talk about it. It seems interesting, and I mean, yes, they dramatized it, but that's what sells. So they kind of go with what they know will sell for them. So it's kind of like, you have to kind of, otherwise it'll just be a documentary, which there's nothing wrong with documentaries. They release a documentary after this, but they want that sensationalized one first that brings people in to be like, ooh, oh my gosh, and then give them actual hard facts after that. But yeah, I was like, I'm definitely gonna watch it just because very interested. Like growing up, I remember hearing about this, but that was it. Didn't know what it was. So, and then as I got older, of course, you learn, it's like, oh, okay, that's what they killed their parents. Okay. So, I definitely want to check it out. Something to check out on Netflix. It's one of those, it's one of those Tiger King moments where it's like everybody's watching it. Except for this, probably if it would have came out, I'm telling you, pandemic time was like the best time for TV because the amount of things that came out and we were all like, yes, everybody's watching it because we're all at home and had nothing else to do. So it's like, that's what this feels like, something like, ooh, yes. And I think they're always, I think that's probably why they dramatize a lot of things too, because they're, after the success of a lot of things during the pandemic, they probably want to recreate that over and over again. So, yeah.
I can see that. Yeah, I'm not, I guess it's one of those, like, I get the reason for the over dramatizing it. I was telling Jade earlier, I was like, well, at least up until the actual arrest and trial part, like, some of that shit was actually pretty funny. just because of how it was done, and because it was the planning or lack of planning and the reaction, it was a mess. So yes, I did find that entertaining, but also, like, taking a step back, I was like, okay, y'all doing a lot, but I mean, I wasn't complaining in the moment. So, but yeah, anything else on the, or Netflix's true crime era? Who do you think they're going to do next? No, wait, actually I saw who they were going to do this next. It was Ed somebody. Hang on. It's a serial killer named Ed, whose last name I can't remember.
When you said Ed, my head went to Ted, as in Ted Bundy.
No, not Ted Bundy. They're probably Ed Gein, the Butcher of Plainfield. That's who they're slated to do the next series on. So, and I don't know anything about Ed Gein, so I might actually, like, sit down and watch that one. I knew about Dahmer, who he was. I did not necessarily know how he targeted and why, so that's why I was kind of put off. It was like, I'm good on that one. Menendez brothers I knew about. I didn't know the nitty gritty of the why. But I kind of figured for them to kill their parents, it was like, something had to be going on. Yeah.
Yeah, like, because either you're crazy, or you just wake up and be like, I feel like killing today.
Right.
Or something's going on.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, I was, like, familiar with it. Like I said, I didn't know the degree, but I knew, like, something was going on, something had to have happened for that to happen, so.
Life be lifin'.
I muted. There we go. And I unmuted the wrong thing. Okay. Okay, we're back. For reals. let's see. All good though?
Yes, all good.
Now. Okay. But yeah. Anything else before we move on to Creator Hub talk?
Nothing else on that. Just, I feel like I'm going to watch it, so if I come back next week and be like, oh yeah, y'all go watch it, but I'll probably watch it.
Are you watching both the drama series and the actual documentary, or just the?
Yes, because okay. I love me a good documentary, so I'm gonna watch the drama series and the documentary.
All right, cool. Moving right along to Creator Hub, which I accidentally brought up earlier. It wasn't really a lot. Well, let me backtrack. It was a lot on Twitch side as far as enforcement notes. That's a lot of reading and copy and pasting that I didn't want to do. So, if you're really interested, go look it up. But it's a lot of enforcement notes. It kind of spells out how violations are kind of judged by Twitch staff or whoever is over the ban section of that, ban and suspension section. But Twitch introduced enforcement notes to react and share details of how new and evolving metas may violate existing rules if they have data suggesting confusion among the community. So, for example, I'm not gonna lie, like, swearing is, like, probably the best example, because I was like, I don't know how the nudity policy works anymore. Apparently, I saw VTubers can't show their hips. I don't know. Alright, let's talk about the swearing. swearing is generally fine. What Twitch has decided in the nuances is like black people, black streamers can more than likely get away with saying the N-word, but if you add the ER to it, then it's an automatic ban. That's just like clearest example I could come up with. And the only reason I'm not saying the actual word, because I have a slight lisp. So I ain't risking it.
Yeah.
So, but all of that to say, if you think about it this way, if you are a regular streamer who sometimes rages and you're not saying racial slurs all the time, you're probably fine. If you are somebody like Fresh and Fit, you're likely banned. Because they got banned like a couple weeks ago and it was funny. I was like, how you get banned on Twitch of all? No, they got banned on Twitter too. It was like, how you get banned on both Twitch and Twitter of all places? Anywho, neither here nor there. Moving on. But yeah, check out the enforcement notes if you got questions. I know those streamers who like to reveal a little bit more probably needs to read a little bit more on the nudity clothing policy. Like I said, I don't know at this point, because I usually just wear a t-shirt or a crop top and shorts or pants and call it a day. So I'm not really showing anything. Maybe a little tummy, that's it. So, like, but yeah, so, if you got any questions, check it out, it's on their page. Twitch also launched 4 new categories: Lego and brick building, miniatures and models, co-working and studying, and writing and reading. Would I do any of those? Not really. If I'm just really bored, I might read. If I just have no more ideas at this point, I will read.
Is it reading out loud or just like reading to yourself? That's the real question.
That's a good question. I feel like it could be either or. Like, I think that's up to you and your community. If you want to read out loud, like story time. But I imagine story time is already something that can be built into like a just chatting stream. So I'm imagining it's like reading to yourself. Kind of like co-working is like co-working to yourself.
Yeah. The only thing about out loud reading is the copyright, because
that's work. Yeah, that's true.
Unless they know that you're doing it, which I'm like, I would hope that was at Penguin House or whatever, would be following and be like, watching little old me read a book.
Yeah.
But then again, there is like, Disney will ban real with a quickness if they figure out that you're live streaming's their stuff. So
yeah, and even the music, they'll flag it even though it's part of a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They won't ban you. They'll just flag it multiple times. It's just like, it's part of the... whatever. Yeah, I guess it gets a little nitpicky with the copyright. So again, be careful and read the rules. Alright, and last but not least, well, at least for Twitch, Iron Mouse, who is a VTuber, if I remember correctly, I think Iron Mouse is a VTuber, has broken the concurrent sub record previously held by Kai Cenat. The new record is 326,252. Well, young Simba, there had to come a day when you had to get up off the throne. But, I mean, from what I saw, he wasn't, like, toxic or anything about it. He seemed pretty gracious, so. Yeah. Wonder how you can get that many subs within a short time span. Being a regular person. I gotta look more into that. I'm not saying I want that many at one point, but I am very curious. Part of it is I gotta stream more. But anywho. Neither here nor there. On to creator industry news. YouTube is also introducing a show fewer shorts option to show fewer shorts in your home feed temporarily. If you are a long form video girly like me, and prefer your long forms, I really look at shorts if it's like quick comedy shorts. I go to YouTube for long form videos, so that's good. That's a good option if you like more of the traditional YouTube videos. YouTube also resolved its dispute with CSAC, returning its artists' music to the platform. I'm not quite sure what that means for copyright stuff. I gotta look more into that. I think my gut is telling me it probably lends towards probably some like more copyright strikes and less if they're returning the artist's music to the platform. They can like file copyright on you if you're taking their music.
Yeah.
YouTube also removed a significant number of channels for spam. The company said this was an accident and would reinstate the channels. That is scary. Any thoughts on the YouTube news? So far, though.
Except pull up the notes now. Yeah, for I like the whole show fewer shorts on the homepage. So that way you can be like less. It's like, yes, that's a nice little feature. It's a nice like user-friendly feature.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes it's kind of a win when you get user-friendly things. Oh wait, you haven't talked about that one yet.
Not yet. I was giving it a little. Yeah. I already know.
But it's wild that they removed so many channels for spam. And I always love how they'd be like, "Oh, it was an accident." I was like, "So how in your algorithm were you going through to remove these channels? Like what flagged it to where to be like spam?
Yeah, that's,
like, what are they doing?
That's what I would like to know.
It's like, so you can avoid it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And if they have that, then why don't they have those freaking videos where you think you're about to go watch like an anime and it's really just 5 seconds of it and then it's that thing on the channel to get you to go to a website that... You know what I'm talking about. And it'd be like the whole hour long. And it's like, why don't you remove those? those are truly spam.
Those are spammy, but that is kind of a smart-ish way to get around the system. Because otherwise, if they posted the anime, the actual anime, they would have gotten struck with copyright quick, fast, and in a hurry. So I get why they did it, but that is annoying.
It's annoying. But also them websites that they link you to. Nobody's going to that because that sounds fishy as hell.
That is also true.
Like, that's real sus. So, no.
All right. So moving on to the thing Jay was just saying about. So so Kix signed the Hawk to a girl.
You know she has the top three. She's like in the top three for podcasts.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I'm not even mad because we have a podcast. I'm just mad because like it was one of those like, well, shit, I could have had a Hawk tour moment if I wanted to. But then Mr. Embassy was like, no, because you know how they do us. You have got a slut shame. I was like, yeah, you're right. Oh, the mediocrity.
Right. I was like, she had, and then she has nothing valid to say. So why?
Yeah.
She, I mean, good on her part for turning 15 minutes into 20.
Really? Well, but, I mean, yeah. It's like 5 seconds, but yeah.
Yeah, but dang. How, Sway? God, I see what you do for others. Like, gosh.
Because at that point, it's like, if even if there was some sort of like, I think I'll be embarrassed because I do a 9-to-5, the way they're paying her and the deals that she's gotten, you wouldn't have to worry about a 9-to-5 at that point. And that's more yeah. So like, come on, man. Just a sliver. I just need a sliver.
Just a little inkling of it. Just something, a taste.
But, I mean, also, I mean, granted, I personally would not want to be signed to Kick. But, considering she also got a podcast deal that is now number 3 on Spotify, among other deals, it's more so the point of like, man, mediocrity just wins. Maybe not every time, but it wins a lot.
Yeah. One of Mike's friends had a really valid point, though. They were saying that because if you look at the top three, they're white podcasters.
Yeah.
That spew nonsense. And that's because their audience is vast like that, and there's not that much for them to listen to. So they all listen to the same thing. Versus when people who are melanated or like who have more sense,
yeah,
we have a vast number of things to listen to, so you don't get to have the same numbers because they're split up.
Yeah, and also to your point about the white podcasters who are spewing nonsense, it is that feeling of like, again, it was like, man, if only I didn't have my ethics. I too would grift. It's great because it's like, well, great, I have integrity, but it's one of those feelings of like, but damn, all I had to say was this, and I would have shot up to numbers.
If I had no morals, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I would be the highest of high places.
I mean,
but I do.
at least until a foreign country offers you money, and then that's when you gotta stop.
Yes.
Because that's illegal. As we might have learned a few weeks ago. But yeah, I was like, yeah, if ethics were not a thing, I absolutely would have grifted by now. I would have made a turn probably around the time I like got married, and I definitely would have gone tried wife route, knowing good and doggone well that is not me. Anyway, anything else on Hawk Tua getting signed to Kick?
The funny thing is we don't even know her name.
I feel like it's Haley for some reason.
But you look like a Haley.
I feel like I feel like I'm making that up, but I do feel like it's Haley something.
I'm gonna call you Haley. It's like, why? Because you look like a Haley.
A little bit.
Oh. But yeah. Nothing on her. Just Darn integrity.
I know.
Darn you.
Speaking of integrity and why I still can't grift on either side, really. It would be easier to do one side than the other, but it's like, I can't do it. Not that these next people are really grifters. Well, maybe one of them is, but yeah, so the New York Times actually interviewed Hasan Piker about his stream and the future of political coverage. Destiny, who tends to be more on the liberal side and does political coverage on his streams, also does like World of Warcraft, Jesus, type of games as well, but mostly covers, does political coverage with the liberal slant. Aiden Ross, who is the suspected grifter, but I could be wrong. I really can't tell sometimes. I feel like some people really believe in it. But Aiden Ross, who does the more toxic, super conservative right wing side of political coverage. Well, no, he's more of a free speech. I just want to say all the insulting things. I think he was mentioned because he actually interviewed Trump on his stream. I don't think Aaron Ross is a political commentator. I think he's just an asshole. But yeah, and Rumble, which is the right-wing version of YouTube, were also referenced in the interview. I actually haven't read the interview. I really haven't logged into New York Times in the past week or so, week and a half. Yeah. So I would be interested in kind of reading that. But I am curious because Hasan Piker, like, he is of the more progressive slant, and he is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, political Twitch streamer out there currently. So I am kind of curious of, like, does political coverage have a future in Twitch, or is it just kind of monopolized by the super loud peoples? Not that Hasan be loud and like loud or wrong. He's just there, and he does it every day, consistently. I will give him that. He is on it every day. So is it more so monopolized and it's going to the top, quote unquote, 1% of creators, or is there room for other people to make room for political coverage? Because I feel like what's selling now is the, you're either 90 to 100% progressive, or you're 90 to 100% ultra right wing, and like the middle people don't really get coverage. I could be wrong, but especially in election year, it was like, throw it out the window if it's an election year. All the extreme people are going to get coverage, but years outside of election years, I'd still feel like, at least in the past, well, since Trump was president, past 8 to 9 years, I feel like that's where it has been going. But like, people in the middle haven't really gotten algorithm blessings like that. No, I'm not personalizing and saying us. I'm just saying observationally. Yeah, people in the middle don't really get coverage or, like I said, algorithm blessings like that. But I'm curious about your thoughts.
My whole thing is, what, Aiden Ross?
Because he interviewed Trump.
But he's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, so is Trump. But what's your point?
Okay, you're like, yeah.
I can name quite a few terrible YouTubers who are doing the same thing.
Like, he just got under fire for offering people money to survive the hurricane. Like,
yep.
Oh, because they're like, he interviewed Trump. He's 20. What does he know? He's a baby. He's a child.
We think that, but they can vote.
Oh gosh.
Old enough to serve, old enough to vote. Prefrontal's not really there, but
until you pay taxes for a couple years.
Well, he probably does now, considering.
I said a couple.
Oh.
But yeah, it's
but the broader point
that had me so glazed over. I was just like, wow. See, I done lost my point. Anyway, because I lost my point completely. Oh, yeah. It'll come back to me eventually.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, that, like I said, that was just my two cents of, like, middle, not so much coverage. Either far, I don't like using far left, far right, because I feel like that, one, that same sides it, and to an extent, is like, you could say it's true if you're talking about the total anarchy far left and January 6th far right, but like, I don't necessarily want to, I wouldn't put someone like Hassan in that category. So it's like, I'm trying to find a way to describe like Hassan and Destiny that wouldn't necessarily put them in the space of that. So, but essentially you're very, very liberal, very, very, very liberal and very, very vocal liberals and very, very, very vocal right-wing conservative. Like I said, I feel like they tend to get more coverage. Or
they do.
Yeah. Like I haven't, 'cause you... the only creators, I guess plural, because they're kind of a business at this point, that I can say is somewhere, I mean, they seem a little more on the conservative side, but they're just not super ultra right wing MAGA, like none of that. So the only creators I can think of who are like super successful, I don't even know if they're American, as I'm going into it, but they, I don't know. I gotta double check that. But the only ones that I can think of that are kind of closer to the middle would be Valuetainment. And that's because they're like, it's a bunch of business and finance guys. So it's like, they tend to have guests on there who might be on one side or the other as far as the more of the very varies. But the main people who are on Valuetainment tend to be kind of like, mostly they just talk about money. So like, but yeah, I was like, I don't know if they're American based. They might be like Canadian or something. I don't know. I gotta double check. But yeah, those are the only ones who come to mind. Everybody else is like, they either truly believe they're on that side, they truly believe what they're saying, or they're grifting. They're grifting because they know if you say one thing or the other, you'll get a whole bunch of views. Because people are gonna watch and then hate watch and then try to see people react and all that. Yeah. Anything else? Has your thought come back yet?
It didn't.
Okay. Moving on to Just Don't Care. Biden has had enough. He's sick of it. Dark Brandon is probably here until for the rest of his lame duck term. And I say that because, so I think his sick of itness is a little bit, it's pretty warranted, actually. It all started because, unfortunately, we had two very major hurricanes hit the Southeast region, with Helene and Milton. So it caused like a lot of damage, especially to North Carolina, parts of Georgia and Florida, and some parts of Eastern Tennessee. So with disasters come the scams and the frauds and the misinformation, particularly misinformation. So because it is an election year, and we are aware this is by far not a clean campaign, at least on one side, that's run, people on one campaign took it upon themselves to spread misinformation about basically FEMA, how they ran out of money, which what had happened was FEMA is granted $20 billion, and they were running low on funds, their budget got cut. So, but they are granted $20 billion, but that $20 billion is actually part of their fiscal year 2025. And $8 billion of that is already allocated to disaster funding that they doled out to survivors and such in 2024, in the fiscal year 2024. So, all that to say, FEMA only has about $12 billion left in their budget, and people are afraid, in bureaucracy, are afraid that that won't be enough because climate change, and because storms have been getting a lot stronger, and we got at least a month left of hurricane season, so who knows what's going to happen weather-wise. I think a meteorologist said there are like 4 more sitting in the Atlantic right now, churning up. That is the whole conversation. However, they do have enough funding to support those suffering from both Helene and Milton. Okay, so misinformation was put out that FEMA's out of money because they were giving money to illegal migrants, illegal immigrants, however you call it, which is also not true. They, boring quick spiel. It's multiple buckets of funding when it comes to the government agency. So the money for said, whether they're illegal or illegal, however they dole out, because it's all under Department of Homeland Security. But the money for immigrants, whether legal or illegal, I actually don't know because I don't work there. But the money for immigrants is in a separate bucket than the money for disasters. So again, not true. So money was not, oh yeah, I saw that. So the money that is running out is not due to illegal immigrants. That's also not true. So it looks good. We're going to keep rolling because I see my bitrate and stuff is back. So, all right, we'll keep rolling. Oh, okay. It's stabilized. Okay. Sheesh. I forgot where I was at. Hang on, let me go back to my $750. There we go. So VP Harris said that getting $750 for immediate needs, that covers what you need right then and there. Like emergency funds, basically. But you can reapply, or you can apply for additional funding as time goes on. I think it's through insurance. I'm not 100% sure of the process of that.
Through grants.
Okay. So there's still enough money in the bucket for grants that people can apply to. But the $750 is just an immediate, like, let's get, I mean, and in fairness, $750 is not a lot in today's economy. So, like, I understand people's frustration. However, you can't apply for grants.
That $750 is supposed to cover, like, immediate things. Like, right. You need shelter, you need water, you need food, you need this. Like, yeah. It covers, like, that covers things immediately, which you can. And then, like I said, the rest of it, they get through grants, because that's just the first bit of money that they get. Like, that's like your mom giving you, like, I'm broke, and she give you $20 until payday.
Right.
And it's like, it's enough to get you by.
Right. And in fairness, that particular agency is a little broke because they kept cutting funding. But that's not the president and vice president's fault. That's Congress's fault. But anywho, yeah. So, but because the Trump campaign has been lying about all of that, Biden has been a little snippy. little snippy about it. Oh, and I'm not even getting to the Marjorie Taylor Greene of it all. People don't control the weather. Biden was a little snippy, because, and I get his frustration, because one is like, you're kind of sick of a major party candidate lying on you, when, especially in a time of crisis, a regional crisis at the very least. So, like, that's not helping. But also, because lies are going around and they travel around the world faster than the truth does, it's like people who are on the ground who might be seeing that, who are affected by these two storms, might not apply for grants at all to FEMA, might not get help at all from FEMA, because they don't believe that FEMA will help them because of, you know, lack of funding or whatever. So, but yeah, I got a little snippy with the press, because when people keep asking you questions about the person you don't like saying shit about you, I think it's safe to say it kind of wears on you. So, like, decorum goes a little bit out the window. So, yeah. The terseness of his responses have gotten to the point where he basically said today that Trump should get a life, because what he and other people on his side have been putting out is just stupid. And yeah, it's like, I get it. I get your frustration. But yeah, he's sick of it. I'm sure he's saying now, it's like, yeah, I'm kind of glad I'm not rerunning at this point. Y'all can have it. But, anything on Dark Brandon finishing out the term before we keep going?
Yeah, all right. Biden's like, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this shit. He just wants to be old and get this over with. Get this last little bit of his reign over with. But yeah. Just the whole misinformation. Y'all don't believe every single thing that you listen to
or see on the internet.
Yeah, like, actually do some research, look into it. Even if you could be like, well, I'm listening to you. Okay, but you can listen to us and then look, sit there and do the research on what we said, and you'd be like, oh, there's facts. You'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
We did research on this. Not just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Giving out misinformation. I was like, there are people who use the platform who just give out misinformation because that's how they feel. Yeah, it's just, yeah, do your research, people. Don't listen to everything that you hear or see on the internet, and take everything with a grain of salt, and figure out who's actually telling real information versus misleading, and either misleading because they're truly ignorant and just didn't know, or because they're blatantly trying to spread lies. So yeah.
All of that. All right, moving right along. Well, we had a good run for like 3 days. So remember that abortion man that got kicked by that judge in Georgia? So Georgia lawmakers then reinstated the 6-week abortion ban in Georgia. So sorry, Georgia. It was good while it lasted for about a week.
Right, Like, it was good while it lasted. It was very much like, yes, thank you. I just feel for all the people who actually go to have one and to have the government govern over your body. It's crazy.
Yes.
Because you have politicians, actual politicians, who believe that a post birth abortion is a thing. Like, every time they say that, I'm like, you mean murder?
It was like the infanticide? The thing you get arrested like for?
Right? I'm like, because that's what that is. And you're like, post-pregnancy abortion. Yeah, they have a name for that. That's because it's not a thing. So I'm like, it's just, they shouldn't. You need to reinstate Roe versus Wade. There needs to be laws around it to protect it. So that way, because them saying that like states should have the right to choose, but then a lot of these states that are choosing are using religious texts, yes, to support it. But there's also supposed to be a whole thing called separation of church and state.
That used to exist.
It used to, but not so much. I don't know what happened, but not so much. And it's just crazy because, one, there's multiple religions. Two, you're telling me that because your religion says, and not even your religion, your religious leaders.
Yeah, because I was like, does it say that in the Bible?
It don't. But I was like, but your religious leaders are saying, hey, no, you can't do this because X, Y, and Z. And so then you're like, yeah, so we're going to pass laws because I believe in this and you should too. I'm like, so you're basically pressuring your religion onto me. It should not be up to the states. It should be up to your person who has the body.
Yep.
And then when deaths go back up for like when people used to be coat hanger deaths,
mm-hmm,
I was like, when those start getting popular again,
do what they did the first time, take pictures of it and publish it in newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that's what we'll have to take, because reading it in print isn't enough.
They need to see a video, apparently, or something.
Yes.
It needs to be. Maybe if they stream it on Kick.
Well, wildly enough, I could actually see that happening.
Right?
At this point, I can't even. Yeah.
The stream would be like, hey guys, I'm going to get an abortion today. Let's go. And it'd be like it's the backseat of somebody's
right
car. It'd be so wonderful. It'd be so terrible.
And you know, because it's Kick and it's supposed to be like free speech, so they have to let that show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which, perfect segue, since we brought up Kick. Too. I know I added this very late.
Yeah, I don't have his feature. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but Jack Doherty got banned on Kick. Now, Kick is the Wild Wild West. So for you to get banned for certain things, that means it's really wild and outlandish. Because he definitely does not care. So, and I watched the whole video. So if you don't know, Jack Doherty is a Kick streamer. Well, he was a Kick streamer. And he had a brand new, what kind of car was it? I forgot what kind of car he was driving. A McLaren. McLaren. He was driving a brand new McLaren, crashed it while he was live streaming, kept live streaming. His camera guy sitting there had blood coming out of his head, and he's telling him, like, keep rolling. And I'm like, it was crazy. They're filming this whole thing, like, in the rain while the whole front end of the car is gone. Like, you could have died. The whole front of his end of his car was gone. And you're worried about streaming because your prepubescent head is thinking about dollar bills. Like, why? So he definitely gets my just don't care this week, because he truly didn't. He truly didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I remember scrolling past that video and reading about it. I was just like, wow. I feel like I missed the news that he got banned, but also it's like that's kind of funny they got banned from it. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I was like, because at first he wasn't banned, but then at Kick came back because they were like endangerment.
Yeah,
because of the other guy. Yeah, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, because it wasn't just him. I feel like if it was just him, he probably wouldn't have gotten banned on Kick, but there's a whole person bleeding out. And you're filming it, and you keep telling them to keep filming, so. Yeah.
But I don't get it with what it is with these kids these days, because he is a child. He is only 20, in his late early 20s, under 22. So
still old enough to serve and old enough to vote. Okay.
But your mind is still moldable.
It is.
That's why.
Anything else?
That's it on him.
All right. Onwards to weekly roundup. More so interesting news. So. Kanye and his Kim lookalike Bianca Censori are headed for divorce after less than 2 years of marriage, maybe potentially allegedly. So Kanye West and Bianca Censori are reportedly headed for divorce after less than 2 years of marriage. They legally wed in December 2022, and they hit a rough patch according to TMZ. So this was reported Monday. And apparently they've been telling their inner circle that they broke up a few weeks ago, but like, it's like not 100% confirmed when I was looking for the story today. So that's, again, reportedly, allegedly, maybe, but yeah. I will say, I think it's very interesting after Kanye's last fall when he face planted right into anti-Semitism. But yeah, when he face planted right into anti-Semitism, that was like the last we heard of him like saying anything newsworthy. And the only time we've seen him in the news is because his wife has been naked. Yes. And after a while, it was like, the first few times it was like, oh, okay, fashion, maybe trying to make a statement. And then after a while, it's like, is she okay? Like, is he making her be this naked in public? Because as I typically do, what you do as a couple, whatever. But also, I just feel like majority, maybe 95 to 99% of couples aren't just walking around or having their partner walk around but as naked. They're close to but as naked on the streets of Italy. I could be wrong though.
So here's my thing.
Okay.
So I have this conspiracy theory that, you know how we all kept saying that Kanye was in the sunken place?
I mean, yeah.
I think it was backwards. I think all the women are in the sunken place with him because he's batshit crazy. And he's just gone through different eras of being crazy that we've not known about. And like, because he has a very, you could tell, he wants to have artistic freedom over these women.
Well, I think that's, I don't disagree, but I also think it's very weird because you have this lady out here naked, but you were getting on Kim Kardashian for showing too much or having too tight clothing or like this and that. I was watching the shows. So, like, mm-hmm. but you were getting on her for X, Y, and Z saying, you know, he kind of had a point. Kind of, because as their dad, I get it. Like, you didn't want the kids being online like that, all that. But more so directing it towards the women specifically. So you're telling Kim to cover up, but you're now telling this other woman to let it all hang?
It's different. I think Kim was too mouthy for him. I mean, Amber Rose, when they were together, she was silent. All we knew about her was she used to be a stripper. That was it. We were like, you a bald-headed stripper. That's all we knew about her.
Now she's bald-headed MAGA with a tattoo on her head. But go on.
And then Kim Kardashian, you got with her. She has too much of a voice. And she had her own. She was already, you came in as an equal, not as over her. So it's just like, it wasn't going to fly like that. You have control for a while. And then after a point, it was like, nah. And then this one, she's letting you have control over it again. Like, they're in the sunken place.
Yeah, I will say Kim Pat does seem a lot freer now.
Yeah.
To her credit. So, yeah, I can see the sunken place effect being because of Kanye and not him suffering from it.
Mm-hmm. They're like, he turned crazy when he got with Kim. I was like, no.
No.
He already was.
Yeah.
We just didn't notice it because he was putting out good music still.
Well, also, like, I think we kind of saw it with the, speaking of hurricanes, with the Hurricane Katrina and when they were doing that, marathon, yeah. charity marathon, and yeah. he kind of cracked and was like, George Bush don't care about black people. And back then it was like, well, he did snap. I think just a lot of us agreed because it was like, well, you got a point. And then I think we just let that slide and we were like, no, that was just a one-time thing. Yeah.
And then Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah, after Taylor Swift it should have been like, well, that's the thing, he said, well, Beyonce is the greatest. What, something Beyonce was the greatest
of all time.
Okay, that's what I thought. Which again, yeah. I think at least the black community in general was kind of like,
you kind of let it slide. Because we were like, oh, your mom just died. He was drunk and he has a point that she should have won over Taylor. And we just let it slide. But it was like, no, y'all, that was a crazy moment too.
That was, yeah, it was.
That was like just like when they get on Little Mama for getting on the stage with them.
Oh yeah.
I was like, that's a moment. That's one of those moments like, what are you doing? Why? Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I was like, Kanye has had multiple what are you doing moments. And we all just kind of let it slide for so long until it went to an extreme. And then it was just like as soon as he was doing things that the black community didn't agree with, then it was like, hold up now. And I was like, no, y'all, the signs were there. They were there.
They were. Especially since his music is kind of slowed down. It's like, okay, you just, sir. Yeah. He almost had this with the gospel stuff, almost, but it's like, no, you're not getting this again. So. That might have happened. Like, we'll see. I don't know at this point. I do think it's really interesting that really the only time he makes headlines is because his possibly second ex-wife now it usually is
naked.
Yes. But yeah. Anything else on Kanye?
No.
Okay. All right. Last but not least, iPhone users can send text via satellite when cell service is down, which is good considering you know, these hurricanes have been picking up and it's knocking out Wi-Fi and cell service. So Apple recently introduced mobile operating system, or iOS 18, which lets iPhone customers send text via satellite as well as to contact emergency services without a Wi-Fi connection. Here's the kicker. You need an iPhone 14 or newer model equipped with iOS 18 to use the feature, which is settings, general software update, all that. I do not have a 14 because I have no need to get rid of my phone right now.
I got one. Show it in its true, in its glory. In so all its pink glory.
So you got that with iOS 18 and everything?
Yeah.
Is it just like... Well, I guess... Let me see the picture of it. It is cute.
Yes.
I guess it's an option. Like, there's a little satellite icon or something.
I'm about to see. It's under settings.
Potentially. Or is it in the options, drag down options, where it's like airplane mode, cellular, Wi-Fi, all that?
Let me see. I had the VP. Oh, yeah, it's there. I can try a demo of it.
Ooh. Okay, that does look kind of cool.
Oh, it knows where I am. Try connecting to satellite.
Interesting. Gosh darn it, Tim Cook / Tim Apple. It's one of those things. It's like definitely good in an emergency. It's a lot of access. Also, I've been kind of wary of devices ever since the exploding pagers thing happened. And I was just like, I want to toss everything out now.
Oh, of course, I'm in New York. Of course, terrain is going to get in the way. It's like, get a clear view of the sky. Terrain, buildings, or trees can block your connection.
Oh, that's, well, duh. Sounds about right.
Let's see if I point it towards the window. Turn right to find satellite. Oh, it tells you where the satellite is? Oh, shut up. Well, that's cool. It's telling me to... Oh, I'm connected to the satellite.
So yeah, all you got is pointing out the window. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. And like, let's see if it shows. So like that is saying to turn your phone towards the satellite.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so the satellite's that way. So yeah, it's telling you to turn your phone that way. Yeah. It's reading off the satellite. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
It has roadside assistance. You can send texts all from there. Huh. Also, that's nifty.
Also, as somebody who likes to go hiking time to time, occasionally, I haven't been hiking in a while, but I do like to go since the opportunity is currently present. I can see that being really great for hikers, because you can get lost quick if you do not know how to landscape and mark where you are going, if you are like a novice. But yeah, that's a cool feature. I kind of hate that you gotta get a iPhone 14 at least, because I don't want to give up my... I don't even know what model this is. I just don't want to give it up because I don't feel like paying more right now.
I feel that. but my phone was overheating, so I was like,
I'll switch it out when it starts breaking down, but not right now.
They do have a cool feature also for the battery, because you know how your battery degrades over time.
Yeah.
So you can choose to have it set to a certain limit that it charges 100% to. So like I have mine to 80% already. So that way it'll do 100% of 80% of the phone of the battery life.
Oh.
Instead of putting it at 100 where it'll degrade over time.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's cool.
That is a cool feature.
Yeah. Like it got its little things. I turned on the AI assist and all that. So you no longer have to say, hey, Siri. You could just say Siri.
Yeah.
And it pops up. And it's all blue and pretty colors. But yeah. I needed a new phone. So I still had the 13. So
I think I got the 13 or something older. Like I said, I was like, I don't even know what version this is. Yeah, 13.
Yeah. I was like, we don't use SIM cards no more.
Man, those were the days.
I got it and I was like, well, where's the SIM card so I can set it up? And it was like, oh, it's an eSIM. I was like, oh.
Yep.
And you can have multiple.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just like, huh.
Yeah, anything else on the iPhone or anything else in general?
Just that it's pretty cool. It's, if you're into like the new stuff, it's cool. They have little features that, like the camera is a little upgraded. I like the fact that it's a USB-C, so if you have somebody who has Android, you can use their charger. It's no more having two different chargers.
Yeah.
All one. I was like, it makes it easy because like if you have MacBooks and stuff, it's like your charger is a USB-C, so now everything is USB-C. So it's more universal. It's just little features that are cool.
Cool. Well, my phone decides it's time to go beyond the veil. I'll keep that in mind. anything else?
That is it.
All right, cool. Well, this has been another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. I appreciate y'all tuning in and listening.